Set in what is now the Rubio Woods Forest Preserve, just 18 miles southeast of Chicago, Illinois, sits an unassuming plot of land that houses an estimated 150 graves. These graves, the first burial taking place in 1844, have long been untended and are in various states of disrepair. Visitors and paranormal experts who have visited the grounds have reported feelings of despair and isolation while walking among the headstones and in the surrounding forest. Coupled with the vandalization of numerous gravestones, there have been recorded incidents of illegal exhumation of some of the human remains. Perhaps it is these acts of desecration, many which happened during the 60s and 70s, that have led to the appearance of so many haunting apparitions that are associated with the area and have earned it the title of one of the most haunted cemeteries in the U.S. This case file joined the theorists as they go looking for the fiesta at the Phantom House in Bachelor's Grove.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing Case File
153,
Bachelor's Grove. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Another episode of ATT. I want to open this up with a question for you guys here.
First off,
thinking about this, you know, as we're talking, looking into Bachelor's Grove, why do you guys think there's these places that seemingly have an abundance of these kind of stories of ghosts and terrible things happening and murders and paranormal? Do you think it all that combined energy, or is it something that, you know, maybe we're making it a reality by putting so much thought into it? What are you guys thoughts on places like this?
I can tell you exactly what it is right now.
What is it?
Underneath places like this in the sewer system, there's a giant lake of this pink shit that looks kind of like Pert Plus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's all our hate. And we focus all our hate into this fucking pink goo shit.
Right.
I've seen it. It's in Ghostbusters 2.
Right.
You guys see
it's
it?
Vigo.
It's obvious. It's Vigo.
Right.
Vigo the Carpathia.
Like buzzing the flies to him.
Yeah. The Scourge of Carpathia. That's what it is. Right?
So
it's factual, right?
So Ghostbusters 2.
Yep.
Ghostbusters 2 theory. Okay, pink goo that responds to negative emotions.
It also responds to fucking wicked ass music, though, as we found out.
Very much. Yes,
it
responds to both
positive and negative emotions.
Yo, love, keep taking me higher.
What you're saying is we could go and hear anything wrong with Bachelor's Grove by playing Your Love.
Is it Jackie Wilson? I got to look that up.
No, keeps lifting me higher. It's interesting. I was giving that thought today. I was thinking about it. I was like, well, is it these places where they seemingly like tons and tons of bad stuff happens or scary stuff? Is it that the area, you know, some ghost hunting shows and stuff, they'll say that, you know, the objects in the soil has memory and like stores energy and it'll release that energy later on when disturbed. But it was just interesting. I was giving that a lot of thought this afternoon. My high thought of the day.
As a person who's never been paranormally activated, unless it was fucking garbage during a Ouija fucking thing.
Kidding me?
Dude, you have
literally any time I've been with you where the lights are out, you've been paranormally activated.
No, I haven't. I've been, because I'm on the game. Woo! I'm always running.
Woo!
But hey, listen. Woo! If you run a 4.5 40, you're not getting paranormally activated. I'm too fast. I'm gone. I'm faster than the lights. I close the lights. I'm already out of the room. Fucking gone. But that being said, I've never been paranormally activated. But when I went to Alcatraz, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what it was. If it was some type of like feeling of like just this overall dread, like a weight, like you could legitimately feel this weight on your shoulders that was like pressing you into the ground, and you just like, best way to describe it's like fucking heebie-jeebies.
Heebie-jeebies.
Just instantly have the heebie-jeebies.
So you could feel all that negative past weighing down on you. Like you could, you feel the energy.
Zell, like I'll be honest with you. I don't know what it was, but I can tell you right now, I've never felt it. Like I've never felt anything like that before, but I felt there, like it just, it was a heaviness and it was just a sense of dread and just like, I don't know. You just, I don't know how to explain it.
I've definitely been to somewhere like that too, like the Killing Fields in Cambodia. I felt that being there. You just feel this like overwhelming, like you can feel it in the air. And same with that creepy ass fucking forensic museum in Thailand where they have all the bodies and the serial killer fucking mummified for you to look at.
Ooh.
You can just feel it. The air is heavy. It's weird. It's just definitely negative feeling.
Now, do you think you're creating that in your mind or is that a real tangible fucking thing?
I felt it.
Dan, answer this question.
I think it really has to depend on what kind of theory of, you know, ghosts, apparitions that do you just subscribe to, whether the apparitions are some sort of manifestation of emotional trauma of some sort that the surrounding area either absorbs that and then it's expressed somehow, whether it's through electromagnetic phenomena, like that's why you get the battery drains, electronic equipment malfunctions during ghost hunting and just when people kind of pass through there. Or is it some type of like temporal disturbance? I think there's one theory I heard while researching this is called the stone tape theory, where it's like inanimate objects may or may not have the ability to kind of record the happenings around them. And then they kind of at certain moments, certain times, whether, you know, it's a possibly be a gravity thing, you know, planets align, whatever, but that those circumstances align, and these windows into time or bubbles in time happen. And then people are either able to see these apparitions, whether they appear in front of them, you know, in how substantial they are, whether they look solid or they don't look solid, or even to the point where you're actually able to interact with some of these apparitions, where it's not that the apparition is appearing in time. It's that there's some kind of like intersecting of the timelines. I don't know. Could be something like that.
That's the theory I've always kind of thought about, is like, maybe you're not necessarily seeing like a ghost or something. You're seeing something from a through a time vortex, like a time slip. So that's why sometimes you see like in a lot of stories, there's something that appears and disappears. You're not really seeing like an imprinted, like a haunting sometimes, I think, but you're seeing like either from a different timeline, from a different point in time, or just an alternate timeline altogether. That's kind of all how I've always thought about like paranormal.
I mean, like, especially in places like this Bachelor's Grove Cemetery, like you're going to a cemetery, you're going there for a reason. You want to see something. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you're wanting to see something, or you're wanting to have this experience or these feelings, you know what I mean? So it's almost like you manifest it yourself because you want to see it so bad.
Well, that's the one theory called, it's like, this is the power of belief. So if you go there thinking to see something, chances are if you like took two groups of people to somewhere that told one of them it was haunted and one of them it wasn't haunted, you'd probably find that the people you told it was haunted seemed to maybe see something more than not.
It's like, I'm telling you right now, probably the reason I've never had an experience is because I'm probably the last person on the fucking planet that wants to see anything to do with that shit.
When you tell someone playing Ouija board that there's something talking into his ears, he's more inclined to believe said Ouija board experience.
You not even tell him. You play some fucking bullshit track. Yeah. Spoiler alert. Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you.
Fun times.
It's
gonna have another drink.
Well, let's get into it. Let's talk about one of these places. And one of these places is Bachelor's Grove.
Yes.
Now, Bachelor's Grove is a cemetery and also like a surrounding forest area, which is located in the Bremen Township of Cook County, Illinois. It's a very tiny graveyard. At this time, it's maintained by like the forestry service around that area. It's this very tiny 82 plot graveyard that historians date the establishment around 1840, and it was a very small very small settlement. Some historians, like, the history of this place is a little bit kind of mixed up. The records aren't very clear. Some people say that the settlement was established in that area because it had good log working trees around that area, like oak trees and things like that. So it was for, you know, for getting wood and whatever, for building supplies.
Getting wood.
There you have it.
Yeah.
The name Bachelor's Grove comes from they're not even really sure where that comes from. It could be from the name of the family, one of the families that owned the area, which was like the Batch Elders. There's also other variations of the name that they found throughout histories: Burzell, Petzl, Bachelor, Batchel. But probably one of the most common explanations that is out there is that this area was perhaps settled by four unmarried bachelors at the time in the late 1800s.
What?
Okay. So
four unmarried bachelors.
We're talking about the 1800s here. So this area could potentially be like the 1800s version of like modern day truck stops, is what you're saying, Dan.
Well, listen, Dan, I don't know much about anything. But what I do know is that when I am looking and I'm out in the prowl, there is no better place to find single women than in the woods with your three closest friends who are also single. And you can all prowl the woods together. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Should have been called Brokeback Bachelor Grove.
So I already know
that there's anything wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. But
it was 1800s. It was probably frowned upon a little bit.
You know, and this could lead to some very colorful paranormal encounters.
Yeah.
100%. Oh my God. What are you doing in my cemetery wearing that?
You're saying there's a lot of judgmental ghosts there?
Boo.
Boo hiss. Don't
Boo.
Ever wear white after Labor Day again, or I'll kill you.
Tell him, Sebastian.
I will, Zachary.
Boo.
Hiss. Boo.
I don't know what to say on this one.
So the settlement itself had probably stopped burials by the 1950s. It wasn't very long served as a graveyard itself. Before this, they said that there's some houses that had been built around the area. There are evidence of some foundations of houses in the area. And so there are these legends that speak of, and we'll get into them later, of these phantom houses that appear in the woods. And so at first people didn't think there was any houses, but they have, you know, recently in the last decade or so, they found actually evidence of houses that had been built in that area, whether close to the cemetery or just outside of it.
Okay. Now, so hold on. We got to interject here. I have to anyway. So like, right. I understand there's phantoms of the opera. There's phantom spacemen. There's lots of different types of phantoms, phantom ships. But what exactly entails a phantom house? Like, what happened in this house for it to become a phantom house? I don't get it. Like, why does this house want vengeance on? Was it a heritage house? And it was illegally torn down? Like, I don't understand.
It was a house with a lot of pets inside. These pets would nonstop just piss on it, shit on it, scratch the walls. It's a fucking vengeful house.
It was one of those houses that had shitty renters in the basement.
Yep.
Yeah. This house was choked.
They had carpet in the basement. They had five cats. You can put the rest together. Fuck. Oh, my God.
That makes sense.
Brutal. Okay.
All right, I understand.
That's how you make a phantom house?
I guess. I don't know. Like, why?
Pack why it full would of a cats. House?
Pack it full of shitty animals. And yeah, there you go.
Well, I think for a phantom house, that goes back to the tape, the inanimate tape theory, was that, like, the ground, the ground remembers.
Yeah.
Right? The ground remembers. The
foundation, apparently.
Imprinted. Yeah,
foundation remembers.
So this area itself pretty much was uninhabited for a long time. It came under purvey of the forestry service. Like, they bought the land from one of the families who owned the land. And then through the 60s, 70s, and 80s, it was actually associated with it. It became what people kind of commonly known as, like, the Lover's Lane. This is where the kids went to, you know, make out and do drugs. Like, that's fornication. As teenagers do.
I'm surprised. Like, this is, they're lucky the Zodiac wasn't hanging around Illinois. So I'll tell you that much.
Well, funny you should mention that. So now, because this is this place is very paranormally active, or, you know, if you talk to local ghost hunting groups, this place is what they would probably say is one of the, if not the most haunted spots in Illinois, if not the USA. But of course, every place that we talk about is the most haunted place in the USA, according to most people. There were a string of murders that happened on the property in this area. September 5th, 1966, there was a body of an African-American woman that was found in the cemetery. She was naked except for her bracelet that they found, which was like a yellow, it was a green yellow bracelet with a yellow gold shamrock. And she was actually the third African-American woman who had been found dead in that area that summer.
That obviously was not a four-leaf clover, because she's not very lucky. That was horrifying.
So even after that, so you have these three murders which happened on the premise. Not only that, but you also have in 1973 on September 14th, you had this area had become, you know, attracting more and more teenagers. People were saying that some kind of shady shit was going on here.
Yeah, they were here smoking marijuana and whacking off.
Fucking yeah,
smoking marijuana, whacking off, and grave robbing, apparently.
Nothing.
Because you had seven teenagers arrested for grave digging.
That is unreal. At one point, there's reports where they dug up bones and took a human head, someone's head, and had it out and laid it down. I'm like, what? Holy fuck, man. What kind of teenager? Talking about hanging with the wrong crowd.
Yeah.
If I mean, what year was grave digging?
What year was this?
73.
Oh, fuck. Well, this is what? Like, all they had was fucking Atari to play? Like, I can understand. They got nothing else to do.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with Atari.
Pong fucking blows.
Don't have Super Nintendo, so let's go dig up some graves. Yeah. Like,
yeah. Chuck some skulls.
Dig to the ditches and burn to the riches. Anyways.
Slammed in the back of my regular. Another murder happened on the property, or in the immediate area, is in April 21st, 1989. They found the body of Martin Myers, who is found in the cemetery. Now, he was actually shot to death, and they caught the person who did it. Apparently, an ex-girlfriend of his confessed to the murder, and she was released because the murder was ruled as self-defense. She had reported that Myers had beaten her and held a gun to her head while they do it. And I guess either they had wrestled or she had gotten a gun of her own and ended up shooting him in the head.
Badass.
And then sounds they like found his body there.
Yeah, sounds he like had it coming.
Piece of shit.
But, you know, with this, we have all the recipes for, you know, a haunted area. We have murders, like tortured souls. You know, we have these four guys that obviously couldn't live their best lives in the time because they were persecuted for their sexual orientation. Right. So they didn't get to live their best life. So they're, you know, tortured souls. You've got all this negativity in this area on top of then some, you know, a whole bunch of grisly murders, unsolved murders, you know, disrupting the graves. Like, no one's at rest.
Recipes for disaster here. A lot of red flags.
Right. So, I mean, that's, I thought a lot along the same lines, because you have all this emotionally, you know, charged area. So many events that happened within here.
It even gets a little bit worse because, like, this area surrounding Bachelor's Grove was a popular, it was a popular hideout for Al Capone and his gangsters in the Prohibition area as well. There's tons of stories of, like, Al Capone and his cronies having hideouts around Illinois and Indiana. And a lot of these, you know what I mean, murders that would take place during this time, they would have to come up with different ideas and different places to get rid of the bodies. And it turns out, like, after looking back, there's two local news articles that found at the Tinley Park Historical Society dated around 1927, 1928, talk about three people that were murdered after an ugly dispute, and their bodies were all found riddled with bullets in ditches, like not even a mile from Bachelor's Grove Cemetery. And right in that area, there's also a quarry pond,
the swamp,
which they think, yeah, that they think that was probably like a perfect spot for them to be dumping these bodies.
Have they ever found bodies in that pond?
No.
No.
Just three-eyed fish.
Yeah.
Is it close to a nuclear plant?
Yeah, obviously. all. Where do you think the Toxic Avenger came from?
Yeah, it's got all the hallmarks.
Well, yeah, of course. No, this place is not that far from modern day Chicago, but it's weird that they chose this place where this grove is as to be a parks land because it's haunted as fuck. No one wanted to live there. If you look at the Google Earth, just around it, pretty much it's city as far as you can see. But then there's this Bachelor's Grove right in the middle. No one ever wanted to build there.
I mean, it is a cemetery. The headstone, all the headstones are still there. Another thing that you could throw into the haunting bubbling cauldron that you're making is that when teenagers started to frequent this place, not only did you have the grave robbing, but you also had grave desecration. A lot of the headstones that were put there or that were there from, from antiquity had been broken. Like if you go there, a lot of them have been defaced, vandalized, all these kinds of things. And, that's like number one thing and not something. If you want ghosts, that's what you do.
Yeah, but listen, even if you want ghosts, if you're listening and you want ghosts, we're not telling you to do that. Don't do that.
Yeah, but I feel like this is
you make your own choice.
Right out of fucking Teenage Zell's playbook.
Bone desecration?
Grave desecration? Guys there listening to My Chemical Romance, kicking over tombstones. Fuck you, Mom and Dad.
No way.
Rock and roll.
It was under oath back in the day, actually. I was. Yeah,
my bad.
Yeah, right.
The story of Zell. I was a teenage necromancer.
Also, Sum 41. Of course.
Wait.
Still, Sum 41. Actually, you guys still.
Sum 41 fucking rocks.
They do. They're fucking great.
Pain for pleasure. Unreal.
Should we take a quick beer break before we get into now all the hauntings and all the cases that have happened in? That's
spooky break.
Spooky break.
All right, let's take a quick break. And we'll be right back.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
All right, we're back.
All right, let's get into some spooky tales from Bachelor's Grove.
So Bachelor's Grove is actually known for a number of paranormal activities. You have numerous appearances and reports of different types of apparitions. One of the first ones that people have reported seeing from like the 1970s until even modern day, one of the most common ones is what people, these disappearing cars. One driver told an account of a vehicle that actually came up from behind them, would pass them, pulled off to the side of the road ahead of them in the distance. And this is very this is boilerplate spooky, where it's kind of, you have these ghost cars that would pull up into an area. You would drive past expecting to see a car, and then there's nothing there. Right. Vehicle's gone.
So overtakes you on the left, pulls in front of you, pulls off the road. You drive by, it disappears.
Like I would definitely
flips
take
you off on the way past too.
Double barrel.
I would definitely take that over like a Christine experience. You know what I mean? Like if you just would go ahead, disappear, but please don't murder me. That's fine.
But it goes even further, where there was actually a report of a couple that said that they had stopped their car at the corner of what is now Central Avenue and Midlothian Turnpike. The driver said he had checked both ways. He saw that there was no vehicle traffic coming from either direction. And he said he proceeded to go ahead and make his turn. And then
boom.
They felt, or they saw from like the corner of his eye, he saw this car barreling towards the side of their car and crashing into them. They reported hearing the crunching of metal and feeling something kind of hit the car. When they actually exited the vehicle, they were you know, nonplussed that they didn't see anything, right? They, the only thing they, well, they actually said that they saw a brown sedan fading from their sight. Like it just faded, disappeared. And then there was no damage to the car at all.
You feel the impact. You get jarred from the impact. You get out. Your car is pristine.
Right. You watch, and you watch the car that hit you, most likely hit you, just drive off, and or not even drive off, but it seems like it just disappeared in front of them, just faded from view.
You're definitely shit your pants and scared, but at the same time, you're like, sick, there's no damage. That's pretty fucking
right.
What?
Can, don't gotta call the insurance.
Yeah. Oh, you know what?
My rates are gonna, my rates aren't going to go up.
Yeah. That'd be feel so good. Because you know he got out of the car and his wife was like, I told you to slow, come to a full stop before you. He's like, there's nothing. There's not. You're crazy.
I fucking told you so, Karen. Told you so. I fucking told you so.
There's nothing around.
You didn't check both ways. Hey, Karen, you want to come see this fucking pond outside of the cemetery?
It's weird, though, because I wonder if that's one of those things where it's like maybe the same time of year, the same time at night, the same circumstances. And it's, what was that called again, Dan? The inanimate tape theory?
Oh, the stone tape theory.
Stoned tape theory? Is that like this thing? Stone tape?
Stoned tape.
Stone tape, not stoned.
Yes. So there's stone ape and there's stone tape.
Exactly. Stoned tape.
It's too close for me.
And, you know, maybe it's like the same, maybe it's even the same time of year, the same night, and there just happened to be crossing where there was an accident, maybe, you know, years and years ago. And it just, it's like a deja vu in the stone tape.
Right. Theory. A lot of people report seeing that the cars, even today, even more recently, people report seeing like antique cars, not cars of the current era, but they would be like antique cars. And if I were to venture a guess or a theory,
what are we talking here though? Are we talking like Model A's or are we talking like fucking Chrysler's? Like what we got going on here?
We're probably, oh, it might be closer to Maladies. Well, my theory would be to link it to the Al Capone or the gangster murders, those things. But you know, you have a person going on what would be called or what was termed back then as their last ride. You know, they take them out in their, you know, in their car, you know.
Oh, and the emotion,
pop them a
the
couple times
way.
And then push them out the side of the car. And perhaps, you know, they're that trauma kind of linked it there.
Especially right. If you're tied up in the back and you know, like, you know what's gonna happen, like those emotions and stuff, yes, like sticks with the area, right? And then you
right
killed.
Leave some type of psychic impression or something. Yeah, like
but
that
how does that translate to the, like, you're in the back seat of the car, you're terrified, you're about to die, but how does it translate to the whole car being trapped in the tape?
Because in that car is where they fit you with your cement shoes. See,
cement shoe, Shay.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I mean, swimming with the fishes, see?
We found Zell's best accent.
Yeah.
50s gangster.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Probably impressed. Because he was alive in the 50s.
Yeah.
That's probably
Al Capone alive. Was alive in the that's the 20s or 30s.
Al Capone 20s, was 30s. The 20s, but we're talking
30s. Well, no, 20s because Prohibition.
20s. Yeah, 20s. Before he got syphilis and died.
Not only do you have what are reported to be disappearing cars, but we have what we call the Phantom Farmhouse. You have now a disappearing house of some sort.
Infested.
So it's not necessarily like...
And this is the only place where all the animals go boo.
Yeah.
Huh? Huh? Let that one soak in.
This is why people give us one-star reviews.
Yeah, that's what happens. Expect a couple more. No,
it's not necessarily a house that's out for vengeance, as Andrew hypothesized, but it's actually people have reported, visitors to the area have said that they have spotted some sort of house near the trail that goes into the woods along the turnpike and inside the cemetery itself. They see this house, and when they try to approach it, it actually begins to shrink smaller in size or move farther away from them until it completely disappears. And the people who have described it, they've actually described the house, and it looked like some type of two-story white columned house with a porch. There was a swing, and there was actually some lights burning in the windows, which some people have said it has some type of like effect on you, where it kind of draws you in or towards the house, or they felt drawn to this house. A lot of people, for years, historians and such had said that there was no house that had ever been built on the land. But recently, people investigating the history of the area had found family pictures, which had surfaced, of two small farmhouses, what had actually been built in the area in the early 1900s. And actually one of them, there's a photo of what is known as the Schmidt House that is built, that's pictured in 1914. And there's a photo of their family standing out what looks exactly, almost exactly what people have described seeing.
You know what the interesting one about this one is there, when you see the shrinking farmhouse, that doesn't really spook me out as much, because we have phenomena like that. Like now, someone sent us one a long time ago, and they said, explain this. It's in Ontario, Port Colborne. I think if you type in shrinking mill, Ontario, but basically as you drive up to this mill, you can see it in the distance. And no matter how close you get, you just are blown away that the mill continues to shrink, and you're like, what the hell? And it's like, there's some weird effect. So like when you say that, I'm like, maybe there is a farmhouse, but it's got some like weird shit like this mill. Look it up. Hashtag look it up.
I'm looking up
Colborne
shrinking mill, Port Colborne. I have a video of it, but it's not fucking, must be a shit video, 'cause it's not shrinking on me.
Either that or Braden's just talking out of his ass, which could very well be the truth.
No.
Oh, dude. Oh, dude. I got it. This is fucking crazy. All right.
It's fucking weird. Big screen that for the boys.
Okay. Let's get this bigger, a little bigger.
Ferda boys.
Okay. Here we go.
That's about, yeah. Okay. So you guys should look it up yourselves too. And if you're listening to this, look it up, because you can see it. You can see the towers of it.
Hey, listen, if you're listening to this and you're not subscribed to the live stream, definitely subscribe to the live stream, because what Zell just showed was actually like mind-blowing and fantastic.
Fantastic.
And you really, paying extra really gets you these fucking visuals, and it's worth it.
Not to mention you get to look at Andrew.
Yeah.
Nonstop, except right? When I mute his camera.
And sexy Braden.
And
sexy Dan, for a matter of fact.
Yeah, Dan's looking pretty fly.
Look at that neck. Oh, man.
So look, you can see the factory now, right? There's the factory coming up. You can see the pillars of it, right, of the mill.
The aspect ratio doesn't change.
The aspect ratio doesn't change, and there's tons of videos on this. I've watched this video a whole bunch of times of people driving this, and then you come, and it just keeps getting further away and further away and further away.
It looks bigger now to me.
Looks bigger now.
And then,
yeah, I don't understand.
Now it looks bigger.
Yeah,
I would say it looks bigger now, but for the whole length of the road that the guy's driving down, it's just a straight road looking at this mill. It looks the same size the whole time till he starts turning the corner.
And then it's a really weird phenomenon. So when you say that, it doesn't spook me out, where I'm like, maybe there is something in the woods like this, but there's some weird phenomenon going on, like with this Port Colborne.
So wait, you're saying they're seeing a paranormal Port Colborne shrinking house, but then it disappears.
Yeah, and then it disappears because there's no house there.
There's no house, so it's a little bit different. But I get what you're saying. As you walk, it's the same. It's the same size, no matter how far away you are. Is what you're saying?
Yeah.
But it just looks. It's like an optical illusion, but it's a supernatural optical illusion because it actually just does disappear.
So after the founding Phantom House, which, you know, disappeared, people have reported seeing it disappearing off the side of things, you have another legend, which is known as the Murdering Caretaker. And this is another kind of very standard issue urban legend, where you had this caretaker who used to live on the property of the Bachelor's Grove. He used to tend the graves, and then at one point he went crazy and killed his entire family and took his own life and burned down the house with everybody inside. And of course, now the people believe, or there's a legend of two male college students who were searching for the Phantom House in the first place, but they ended up encountering this caretaker, or they identified as a caretaker, who seemed to follow them and ask them what they were doing, ask them questions, and kind of guide them in their search for this house. And then with this oil lamp, and then when they got to where they were going, or they got to a certain point in the woods, the oil lamp went out, and when they turned around, caretaker's gone.
Oh man.
Damn.
Is that before or after he told them which hand was the strong hand?
It's funny that you mentioned that as well, because there is another legend of, they have one of the hook hand legends there. Oh,
dude, well. I read the hook hand legend too, and I wasn't sure if it was actually attributed to this place or if someone just wrote it into the history of this place. But
I mean, that's it's a very popular legend. Yeah. I don't think anybody knows exactly where it came from, but it is one of the legends here. Like, they have that as well. I don't know if it's the caretaker one specifically, but they do have a legend of a hook hand.
The one I heard actually wasn't necessarily because the hook hands, the ones where like the hook stuck to the car handle when they drive away, right?
Right.
So the one I read about this place is, it's like Lover's Lane. So the two lovers stop for whatever reason, they do their business. The guy tries to start the car, it won't start. There's no phone service at the time, long time ago. So he's like, I'll be right back. I'm going to try and get some help. And then the girl sits there for a while. He doesn't come back. And all she starts hearing is a little brushing on the top of the car. Like a little shh, shh.
Oh, classic.
Shh. And then finally, after a while, because she's too scared to get out, she sees like the cops coming. And then what happens is she's like, they take her out of the car and like, don't turn around. And then she obviously has to turn around because it's the legend. And then her boyfriend dangling from the tree, his fingernails brushing the top of the car as he swings left.
Right.
And
it's
right.
His fingernails or his feet or
something
whatever.
Something like that. Been, yeah.
How long were those
is
fucking
nails?
Is this
a legend or is this real?
Might be real about this place. I don't know.
That's a classic urban legend. It's either like, yeah, I've heard that one before too.
What's the hook hand one? Classic.
Well, the hook hand one is like people just report being chased by somebody with a hook hand. It was a character, like they identify it as a caretaker. It's very much like, get off of this land. Like,
right.
Is this very, you know, before
get
or after?
Get out of here, you kids. Like, get out of here. You
know? Now, is that before or after they accidentally run over him and then try to dispose of the body?
And then I know what you did.
You know, straight up coming out of the pond, Jason Voorhees style.
Yep. And,
One waving one hook.
So now, not only do you have these human apparitions, but people have also reported seeing apparitions of what are ghost dogs at these areas.
Ghost eggs?
Right, ghost eggs.
God.
I mean, I would prefer to see a ghost egg than a real egg.
The earliest reports of these ghost eggs, or phantom eggs, date, they said, to around the 1980s. But one of the best stories that you probably have is a young woman who described her experience traveling to Bachelor's Grove for the first time in the spring of 2002. And she reported that they had been walking south on the path, which is near the cemetery, and they saw what seemed to be or looked to be a black Doberman standing near the gate facing them.
Did it have skin or no skin? Are we taking Resident Evil?
There was no report of skin or no skin.
All right. That leaves it wide open for interpretation. Perfect. Yeah.
So kind of like potentially have like Zell colored skin, like translucency.
Somewhere in the middle.
Skin.
All three of the women in the party actually said that they had seen the dog. Clearly. And then they got closer and then they said that this dog became blurry and transparent until...
I don't like that.
It disappeared.
No, they probably got up close and they're like, oh, fuck, it's just a log and some sticks. Never mind. Fuck.
Couple sticks with a rabbit and its pointy ears behind. Fooling us.
So they say that most of the appearances of these dogs seem to happen near the cemetery entrance, or there's a roped off entrance to the old turnpike road. So whether there's some sort of significance to either there's this kind of theory people throw around that, you know, dogs these type of ghost dogs, again, they're kind of guardians or whatever of certain sacred places. So some people put it or attribute it to that. Right. That these dogs are somehow
hellhounds
guarding this area. Perhaps a hellhound, sure.
Well, maybe at this point, like if you think about all the desecrations and stuff, maybe they're protecting the spirits or keeping the spirits in the park or something at this point. Like it's gotten so bad there that they've been like, all right, we got to get the dogs up there or something. It's getting wild. Making sure you're on your best behavior, right? I'm just saying, like, if you were going to go fuck around, if I was going to go fuck around in a cemetery, which I would never do in the first place.
We might.
If I was so inclined and I went in there and I thought I saw a Doberman.
First thing.
I'm probably not going to be fucking around. I'll probably be a little scared.
So you're telling me, like, Satan or whoever is covering over this cemetery is like, listen, shit's getting too crazy. We got too many fucking teenagers like Zell smoking drugs and kicking over fucking headstones. So we need to get some, like, what is it? The Cerberus?
Sure. Yeah.
Having, you know what I mean? Have that big ass chain badass sitting at the cemetery barking at everybody trying to come by.
We'll keep the
teenagers off the lawn. So, I mean, sure.
Buddy, if I saw a three-headed dog trying to bite my face off, there's no way. They wouldn't even need that. They just like a cocker spaniel with a mean look. I'd be like,
I'm good. Thank you.
I'm good.
I don't care how busy I'm trying to get with my girlfriend.
Wait, Andrew, all they need for you is like a light breeze with some leaves rustling.
Oh, yeah. If that light breeze comes out and goes, loser. I'm like, I'm out of here, man. I don't fuck with this shit.
Hello?
Yeah, nope. I'm not even going to answer. Just start running. Anything paranormal happens, I'm just fucking
Usain Bolt out of there.
So, like we mentioned before, there is an old, what they have, people have said is the old quarry pond also in the area. And not so much for dumping bodies, but there's also supposedly something that lives in the old quarry pond. People have, the story has circulated since the 1960s of some type of two-headed monster that had been seen that supposedly crawls out of this gross cesspool lagoon that is across from the Midlothian Turnpike. And it would, the people who have seen it, or at least one report of somebody seeing it, another couple reported seeing something that it crawled across this apparition or whatever had risen up out of the lagoon, for lack of a better word, and then crossed the road and then went into the forest itself.
Now, is this lagoon black?
I was just going to ask that, actually.
Yeah, I think it's very much green. It's pretty gross. It's a cesspool. People have said that it's not that deep, or it's not as deep as you think it would. Like most quarry ponds go like down, you know, tens of hundreds of feet. It's quarry. It's digged out. But this one is like, people have said that they have seen people walk through it.
I've seen a video actually.
So it's swampy.
When I was looking at a guy trudged through the pond.
Oh, right. That's a mucky pond.
That's disgusting. I can only imagine. I hate at the beach when you hit like a bad, like a soft piece of sand, like a sludgy piece of sand under the water. And like,
that's what you hate? Thing.
Yeah.
Hate it when seaweed's a fucking tickling your balls?
I don't give a shit about that. Give a shit about the seaweed, but when that, when the gross slime oozes through your toes.
Oh, that feels good. I don't fuck with seaweed,
it
bro.
Irks me.
Seaweed freaks me out.
I eat it.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. It's probably all you've been eating because you're skinny Braden on that seaweed diet.
Seaweed and celery.
Yeah.
It's a good fiber.
Yep.
That's why you can't go anywhere with this guy without him shitting his pants. It makes sense.
That's not true.
Yes,
just regular.
No, it is. Last time I hung out with you, you almost shit your pants. So
you almost shit your pants today. We took an early break so you could run away.
Yeah. Listen, we had to delay this podcast because you were going to shit your pants. So don't even, you're lost. You fucking said you're going to shit your exact words were, I'm going to shit my pants.
I said halfway through, I might. That's why we need to take a break.
All right.
Yeah.
You guys are wild.
Now,
but you are right, Andrew. 100% of the times we've hung out, the last times I've shit myself, which is one for one of the last time we hung out.
Yeah. So it is 100. So it is technically
100%. Technically 100%.
Yeah. Technically true.
Yeah. We're talking about strictly the last time we hung out.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you had a set of racing strips in your pants right now.
Well, what's
the over under?
Now, what teenage Lover's Lane haunted spot would be complete without your reports of Satanism?
Yep.
Woo!
One of the other reported sightings in these areas. There's reported of satanic, druidic, you know, probably communist. I'm not sure if Alex Jones isn't involved, it's probably communist.
Baby eaten.
Baby eaten hooded figures.
Pig babies, Joe. Pig babies.
There have been more than a few reports of these hooded figures either gathered in Bachelor's Grove at some point. People have reported seeing these figures gathered in circles around fires, bonfires, and things like that. Having, you know, chanting
Ouija,
very much.
Was this during a certain time, Dan? Like, was there a time frame that these reports were coming out? Was my question.
Probably about 1970s.
So it could have been potentially during the Satanic Panic?
Potentially.
Okay.
There was one report from Eddie Schwartz, who's a popular ghost hunter in the Chicago area during the 70s. He had reported that there is actually, this is the weirdest thing, because he's like, he says that, quote, there is a 7-foot guy who frequents the area quite often. And if it's a full moon, he's quite possibly out there tonight. He's a real human being from the Lamont area who dresses in his robes for his different rituals and is seen out there by a number of police who patrol the area, as well as unsuspecting teenagers who go out there, who are driving down the road and are confronted by this 7-foot tall individual in his ceremonial robes.
Jesus.
Goddamn.
Why is there a set? I mean, that's cool that it's like, okay, what could possibly be this ridiculously tall hooded figure wandering through the woods? And then, okay, that's an explanation. That even raises more questions, because why is there a 7-foot person walking around in ceremonial robes? Now I have more questions than I did before.
What color?
Everyone's okay with him doing rituals in the park? Like,
he's a well-known person doing rituals. And it's like, okay, well now, okay, what kind of rituals? Why is he a 7-foot man? Why does he own a pair of ceremonial robes? These all need explanations.
Situation here is, why the fuck would Yao Ming decide to retire in Illinois? That doesn't make any sense to me. Why would he do that?
Why would he retire 43 years ago?
This is 1977.
Did he retire in 1977?
Yeah, of course he did.
The Yao Ming from a different timeline or a...
He's a time traveler.
Yeah.
You guys didn't know that? Jesus, he's dunking on people in every age.
Oh, I forget. After you get over 7 foot tall, you get time travel powers. That's how it works.
You just step through dimensions.
That makes sense.
That is strange, though. Like, that's to me,
when you
I'm
get
like,
that tall, you can see through over time and over space. Time.
Yeah. Think about it, though. Like, that would be pretty funny, because you're like, listen, I'm already huge. I'm the biggest dude around. I already kind of freak people out. Why don't I get them even more fucking scared and just walk around a cemetery in a cool cloak?
Listen, I'm just saying that would be funny at any time. I'm saying if the four of us, the next pod week, we went anywhere wearing our robes to the point where the police came and we're just like, oh yeah, we just like to wear these robes to freak people out. And they're like, okay, like why? We're like, oh, we're just wearing them. We're like, okay.
And that's why we're thankful for living in Canada.
We're charging our moon crystals on the full moon.
Letting them
bathe.
That actually kind of happened to me the other day. Slightly. Not the same.
What? Charge your moon crystals?
No. Walking around in robes. We were playing Dungeons and Dragons and I walked from the front, because like my studio, I got to walk around to the house, and I walked around and there was no cars in the driveway, and there was this like family walking by, and they all stopped and like looked at me because I had my Gandalf hat on too. They just looked at me, and I went.
You should have turned around to them and been like, have you guys seen my goat?
I just looked at them and they looked at me and I went, I just cast in firebolts, and they went.
Did you conjure one up?
Firebolt.
Should have looked at them.
I should have firebolted them. Firebolt.
You should have told them, you shall pass.
There's a lot of things I should have done that I didn't, but the same thing that did happen, the kids just kind of looked at me weird and kept walking.
They probably thought you were the coolest guy in the neighborhood. They
probably asked for a cloak when they got home. Like, Dad, what was he wearing? Like, that's a cloak. Watched Lord of the Rings a couple times. Now that kid's walking around with a hockey stick, a Gandalf hat, and a cloak.
Pretty sick.
Mom! Why is that translucent guy wearing a cloak?
So now we reach probably what is the most well-known or the famous apparition within Bachelor's Grove. In August of 1991, you had a ghost hunter society known as the Ghost Research Society members who conducted what was pretty much a very thorough investigation using all the, at the time, the latest in ghost hunting equipment. So you had your cameras, your tape recorders, your camcorders, you know, EVP equipment, you know, to measure any type of electronic or electromagnetic and ion readings that people associate with paranormal apparitions of these types. They had actually found a couple of spots within the cemetery itself that had kind of set off their, you know, their instruments, and they figured that it would be a good idea to kind of set up in these areas and take photos to kind of study for later. One of the investigators took a picture of when she took the picture, there is it's a headstone in one of the areas of the grave. And when she took the picture, she remembers clearly there was nothing there. It was not none of the other researchers were with her at the time. She was simply taking a picture with her film camera.
Of what? Snapping shots?
No, they were taking pictures of areas which had set off their instruments that kind of had strange readings. And they're like, these are places of interest that they had mapped out. And they were going to kind of, you know, using their investigative techniques, they were going to take pictures, review them later, see if they could see anything. Because sometimes it is... people say, or researchers say, that you can kind of catch apparitions on film. Like, you won't be able to see them, but you take pictures and perhaps you'll catch something that isn't there or you didn't see before.
I mean, a lot of times,
right?
You're taking a picture of the stoned tape theory.
Yeah.
After developing the film of what she thought had been a completely empty, headstone, there had been nothing on the headstone, there was a woman very clear, very visible woman sitting on top of this headstone. And it's a very famous picture. You know, people can look at it. It has been studied, it has been reviewed. People have said that this is more than likely it is not. Some people tried to explain it as a double exposure. She said that the camera that she was using was an automatic, had an automatic film roll. So when she took the photo, it would just automatically move on to the next frame. There's no way for her to manually, without exposing the film, to create a double exposure. So she's like, it was empty when I took the picture. When I developed it later, there was this woman. And this woman became known as the Madonna of Bachelor's Grove.
When they called her that, I believe, is because they heard a whisper on the wind.
I wonder what that whisper would have sounded like. I made it through the wilderness. Somehow I made it through. Didn't know how lost I was.
Until I found you.
I was beat.
Incomplete.
I had been had. I was sad,
I was sad and blue, but you make me feel.
Yeah, you made me feel.
Shiny and new.
Whoo! Like a virgin.
Touched for the very first time.
Like a virgin.
That's what they heard.
And then they also saw her on top of a mausoleum with cones on her breasts doing the Vogue.
Oh. Yeah.
I think it's called cone titties.
Cone titties.
It's a technical term.
Voguing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how they got the name.
Madonna.
They only got that picture of her, which is weird. But then they were so stunned by the music and the dancing after that they just put the camera down. They all started voguing.
Yeah. How can you not? Yeah. Is my question.
I think they thought it was a Madonna concert.
Yeah, I forgot to mention the uncontrollable urge to vogue when you go into Bachelor's Grove. I forgot to mention that.
We're talking about it and I'm voguing right now. That's how powerful it is.
I'm just saying it comes full circle. If we think about the you know, the beginning of Bachelor's Grove, you've got these four guys getting away from society just to spend time with each other, and then it ends with a Madonna concert, impromptu Madonna concert in the Grove. Comes full circle to me. It's all making sense.
So this apparition people have reported seeing is Well, a very common apparition that you would see or reported in other areas where you have this translucent, very pale woman who wanders between the headstones. You know, it's known as the White Lady or the Weeping Lady, a very common apparition. And whether this is something that is perhaps like it's just like how it manifests itself, the sorrow. People have said that they have seen it carrying what seems to be an infant child in its arms. Ooh. People will seem to attribute this apparition as there is a strange or kind of unusual headstone in one of the plots within Bachelor's Grove that for a long time nobody really knew who it was, but there is a small tombstone next to a larger one that was simply written, no date, no name, no date, just says infant daughter. Ooh. Which is etched into the tombstone itself.
Ooh.
So died before.
I mean, like, how old was this thing when it died? Maybe it's before they could give it a name.
Yeah, died in birth, maybe.
Perhaps. You know, so you have that.
How could you, like, if you're gonna go to the depth of like burying this, whatever, if, you know, even if it's just a fetus or whatever, you could still name it.
Yeah, but like, what if the mom died? That? What if, what about it? What if the mom died giving birth and then the infant daughter? So like it would be weird for like an outside party to be like, well, I'm going to give you a name.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hmm.
But that's one of the most, it's probably one of the most well-known paranormal photos around there. It's easy to look up. Madonna Bachelor's Grove. I will probably post these pictures and things in the Discord after the show. But again, this is almost all of the of all the apparitions that you hear about in other places seem to manifest themselves here in Bachelor's Grove as well. So you have the kind of the weeping lady, the ghost dogs, you know, phantom caretakers, phantom things. Whether these are results of just urban legends, like you have the perfect storm
of paranormal activity going on here.
Well, the perfect storm of like just social things where it's like you have, you know, like one of the explanations that people put is that there are apparitions of these glowing orbs, or people have reported seeing these glowing orbs chasing them through the woods. And some people have said, well, those were probably police chasing people through the woods
with their flashlights.
Or looking for them. All right. You kind of have this thing where you have a bunch of teenagers going into these places, or it's whether parents trying to tell their kids to stay away from these places.
Heathens.
Whether these stories evolved out of, you know, cautionary tales trying to keep kids away from here, or because a lot of these stories that when researching this, a lot of these stories kind of came out of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So these legends didn't really exist before that
time.
Well,
yeah, but the problem is there was a 7-foot guy doing rituals in the park.
Which right? Bums me out, because I feel like the original founders of Bachelor's Grove, the original people that founded this area, really wanted this to be a place that you can go when you're short on your dough. And I'm sure you will, you know, they really thought this would be a place where you'd find many ways to have a good time. And they really hoped that it would be fun to stay at the Bachelor's Grove.
Yeah.
But it really wasn't. They desecrated it and turned it into a scary place.
Yeah.
It bums me out.
They turned it into a negative thing.
Yeah. Definitely not the YMCA. I'll tell you that much.
100%. What are your final thoughts on the Grove?
Well, like, usually when I look for a horror, like a ghost story like this, usually that comes with like tales of like mass murder and whole bunch of other stuff, but we do have a few murders documented here and maybe more that were never discovered. Possibly maybe the pond on the Grove here has like some type of like sinkhole mentality. Like once you dump a body in there, it just gets absorbed into the mud and you can never find it. So maybe like people who are killed or murdered on this place or died here in horrific fashion, maybe they are imprinted. Maybe this type of stone tape, you're imprinted here across dimensions. I don't know,
man. All I know is the Grove is not a fun place to stay. And Grove, you can't really make those signs with your arms. So it's not as fucking cool and interesting with me. I feel like that's where they messed up. But like we were talking about earlier, I feel like this is an area.
Are
where
you telling me that the Grove was created around the same time as the YMCA as a competitor, but it just didn't take off because they couldn't do the hand signals or make up a dance?
I mean, and that's why you have angry spirits. They're frustrated. They got overshadowed by the YMCA, but kind of ties into what you're saying earlier. Like, this is a place where obviously some shitty things happened. You know what I mean? How many shitty things happened here? We don't know, but I think that's kind of what adds to, you know what I mean? Like, there's just that volume of bad energy in one, like it's all concentrated in one area. And I think that's why everybody gets these shitty vibes. Not to mention, it's a fucking cemetery. Like, no shit.
Number one. Yeah.
Like, it's just not a great place to hang out. Maybe find a different place to smoke your drugs, Zell. Cemeteries aren't cool.
That's you.
Dan, what do you think?
I think it's interesting that most of these legends kind of started popping up around the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Like, I think that's where most of these modern legends come from. And along the lines of saying that this place is perhaps, you know, with a type of place that is the emotions that come with a cemetery, you know, grief, loss. And then you also have the other things where potentially you had at least four murders in the area. Like I said, they had a body of three African-American women who had been found there pretty much in the same state. So either there was a serial killer going around killing three, killing African-American women in the area and dumping their bodies there, which is terrifying in its in itself. And then you also have the death of Martin Myers, a violent death, if any. I would say that there could be something there. You have that photo. Like, we have this photo, which is as close to physical evidence as you could want of something being there. And just the report of the ghost hunter who took it. And she said that there was nothing there before. And this picture is obviously a woman. It's not a statue. And, you know, you can go there and you can see the headstone yourself. Like, it's still there. This checkerboard.
You can go sit there.
Yeah. Headstone.
Yeah.
And it's not like that's a statue. If you look at the photo, it's not a statue. It's not part of the headstone itself. That is something that is just, it's a person. And whether that's some sort of ghostly apparition or some kind of elaborate hoax, I mean, that's still kind of up for debate, but people have tried to disprove the photo, and I haven't heard anything that said that this is, you know, this was a hoax. There's obviously somebody there. This is double exposure. It's just something that people can't completely explain. So perhaps there is something there, or she caught that moment in time when
it all happened, you know,
the stuff overlapped and just peered through the void. Who knows?
I like that. I was thinking back to what Zell said about, you know, we usually, when we're talking about these places, it's where there's been these great tragedy or something. And this one is it's not quite the same. I mean, there is great loss here, but I kind of like to think of this one as like, this is man-made. There's been so much meddling here and negativity of people desecrating graves and just like us, the living, like fucking around with this area, you know, whether there is satanic rituals being done here, you know, desecrating graves, all the recipes of things that we know you shouldn't do, right? If you believe in this kind of shit, we've done in this area. So I like to think that this is a very paranormal activated area, but not for the usual reasons. I mean, yes, there is some murders and stuff, but more so that the meddling that the living has done in this area has caused this. And it goes back to, you know, we talked about, I like to think of the, what's that experiment with the two slits where the, you know,
double slit experiment
where it's like, you know, people are going in here and they're just, you know, putting this energy in and thinking and looking for this stuff nonstop that maybe we're willing it into existence. We're thinning the veil.
Well, the double split's like, yeah, you're a physical being, like you're a collection of particles, but you're also like an electromagnetic being, as you're like a collection of waves. So you're saying the waves, yeah, after the physical being ceases to exist, like the electromagnetic waves linger as,
yeah,
part of,
and
like
us being there is like, and being and observing it is affecting it, and like putting your like cognitive thought into it in that area. Like, I just think it's a I think it's a man-made paranormal activated area.
You poke the supernatural spirits, metaphorically. Yeah. Don't do that. Leave the graves alone.
Why don't we get into a little space news? It's a little two-parter space news. August 19th, 2020, an asteroid just made the closest Earth flyby on record, and we didn't even see it coming. We had no idea.
We never see
it. A car-sized asteroid flew within 1,800 miles. That's 2,900 kilometers of Earth on August 19th. It's the closest one ever recorded. We didn't even know. We didn't even know it was coming.
That's terrifying.
The closest one ever recorded that didn't hit the atmosphere.
Yeah.
But it was, if it did hit, it was so tiny, it would have vaporized instantly. But still, that just goes to show you that if we're going to be hit by an asteroid, we're probably not going to see it coming. It's just going to smash into you.
Yeah, that's on my 2020 bingo for December.
Here's my question. Out of all you guys, like, I'd like to hear from all you guys, would you not want to know that we're of this asteroid coming for our impending doom, or would you want to know?
I'd want to know.
Zell, Dan?
You couldn't tell us, though. You couldn't tell society, but I'd want to know.
I would want to know personally, but if you've made it public, I would have feared the repercussions of a panic society. You've seen what coronavirus did, and it was barely anything compared to a devastating asteroid that's about to wipe out
like
all life.
Like, if they're like, listen, everyone, there's an Earth-ending asteroid on its way. It's 30 days away. We're going to try to stop it, but it's so big that there's probably nothing we can do. We're all gonna be wiped off the face of the Earth in 30 days.
I think if they let people know just like 3 days or 4 days before, so there what like there's no food shortages and everything just kept going, that'd be all right. But if you gave people like in 3 months, oh, I can only imagine what would happen.
But there was another one. There's an asteroid heading for Earth on election day 2020. I don't know where that.
Is it gonna just hit all the mail, the post offices in the United States?
I think
States?
So.
Is that what's gonna happen?
I think that's what's gonna happen.
The media got a hold of this one, and just to play off 2020 a little bit more, and yes, just like everything is now politicized, even the asteroid is coming right before right before election day. But don't worry, this asteroid again is only gonna be the size of a car, so nothing is going to happen.
Yeah.
Though it does have a 2% chance or something like that of hitting?
It's like 0.41%.
Oh, so, yeah, super low. But the chances.
So you're
is
saying
there.
There's a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if it hits the Earth's atmosphere, it's going to disintegrate. Nothing's going to happen anyway. So.
But yeah, there's no chance of it hitting. But yeah, they definitely. The media ran with that one. The International Space Station is leaking air again.
Yep.
So they're monitoring it right now, and they've identified the leaks, and they can maintain livable atmospheric pressure, but a couple years after the last leak, it's leaking again. Shit's getting old in space.
No, but the last leak, though, was because the rocket that came from Russia, the Soyuz rocket or whatever.
Was tampered with.
It had the drill mark in it. Someone like drilled, it was like a manufacturing error, they thought, and there was an actual small drill mark in the ship, and it was leaking enough air for that to detect on the actual main space station.
Oh shit.
Maybe we got more tampering up there.
Yeah.
Fuckers.
So they're not in any danger. They're looking for the sources of the leak, and they're monitoring things. Everything's fine right now. So we'll keep tabs on that one a little bit as we move forward. These are all negative ones. NASA is tracking a vast growing anomaly in Earth's magnetic field. So there's a strange anomaly, a giant region of lower magnetic intensity in the skies above the planet, stretching out between South America and Southwest Africa. So I don't know the negative impacts of that. It just doesn't sound very good.
From my read, it was more to do with maybe if you're like on the space station or something. Like you're not going to feel any effects on Earth, but if you're in orbit, the decreased field may cause an issue with some type of electronics.
Superpowers?
What? Well,
ooh.
Sure.
You heard it. Absorb it. Did you guys have any space news?
I mean, if we do get superpowers, I'd imagine Zell being able to stretch all over the place. Brayden would be able to go invisible. Dan would be a big orange rock, scary thing. And obviously I would be on fire.
Yeah.
I think that makes more sense.
But not in the good way on fire, yeah. just constantly on fire.
Burning.
In pain.
Yeah.
Like the Venture Brothers.
Just constantly screaming.
Screaming, miserable. No, I'd be that's cool like Johnny Storm. What are you talking about?
Go ahead. If you guys have anything, I don't know.
No, that's enough space news for the week.
That's it.
Is the Randomatron working this week?
Oh, yes, it is.
Why don't we fire that baby out? Let's see what we got. All
right, let's do it.
UFO.
Should have it.
Wow, this is a throwback from the UFO Encyclopedia.
Yes.
Nice quick one here. Jose Alvaro. On March 3rd, 1978, a significant abduction case occurred in Fragata Palatas, Brazil. I'm sure that's how you pronounce it.
Must be.
Exactly.
Fragata Palatas, Brazil.
Fragata Palatas.
The case is all the more remarkable because it features which echo the earlier claim of Antonio Villas Boas. Wait, isn't that the guy who had sex with aliens?
Yes.
with the sex jelly, the boner jelly?
That's the boner jelly.
Boner jelly. Wow. And yet the claims which predate the events of the Gulf Breeze, Florida in the late 1980s. On March 3rd, 1978, Jose Alvaro walked towards a house owned by his father to check that it was locked up. He claims he was then struck by a blue beam and knocked out. When he awoke, Alvaro believes the words, "The task is accomplished," were in his mind, together with a violent images running as if in a movie. Hypnosis sessions were set up by UFO investigators and psychologists. During these sessions, Alvaro claimed that he was led into a room where a tall female humanoid rubbed him down and forced him to have sex with her.
Forced him, quotes.
Although reproductive material, semen and ova, feature in many UFO abductions, sexual intercourse is more rare for a reason researchers have never agreed upon. Most sexual encounter reports come from South America. It is considered that it is possibly a factor of the self-image of men on that continent. The alternative would seem to be that the phenomenon can react to the expectation model of witnesses. So this book's saying that this guy's full of shit. He didn't have sex. He's like, he's a little virgin, little bitch. He didn't have
I interpreted it that differently, and I believe that extraterrestrials are just out there for a little Latin lovers. They find them better.
Can you blame them? So, can you blame them?
It's you know. Would you dance if I asked you to dance? Would you
Has anybody asked Antonio Banderas? Well, he's from Spain, but has anybody asked or Enrique Iglesias how many times they've been abducted?
If you're from South America, let us know how many times you've been having sex with aliens or if you know people who are banging aliens.
No shame.
I'm curious now.
No shame at all. Let us know.
Yeah. All right. That's a little quick one.
Quick story from the UFO Encyclopedia.
Zell, got some new Patreoners?
I do. If you're not supporting us on Patreon already, head over to patreon.com/alientheoristpodcast. And for $5 a month, you get everything we do. We got a whole, I don't even know how many bonus episodes we have now. 100
get
hours?
Oh, man.
100 hours
all
at least, probably. Anyways,
all up in your ears. You get it
all up in there. You get your private feed.
Woo.
It's unbelievable. Best deal on Patreon.
I'd agree. I'd agree too. Unbiased too.
Unbiased, yes. New patrons. Tony Robinson.
Woo.
Johnny Tran. Edward Takrox.
I don't think that's right, but woo!
Takrox. Edward Takrox.
Edward's talking rocks.
Yeetith Feetith goes up in a pledge. Dan Johnson. Matthew William. This is an interesting one. the God. The God. I'm not sure which God, but he is the God supporting us.
He's the God of all gods.
God of all God. Lynn Duffy, Nightwing 1628 went up in a pledge, and Cody Dixon.
Dick Grayson. Boom. Supporting the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for supporting the show.
Woo.
Woo.
For Three Writer of the Week, we've changed it now. If you, because there's a lot of people send us stuff, but if you have to send us something that we can use on social media, posty, we'll give you credit. We'll make sure you tag the whatever account you send it from. And that's how you become Three Writer of the Week. So this week we got nothing, but the call goes out. If you can create one of us into an Animorph novel cover or anything that like that.
That was great.
You're in.
Just something creative. You got to make us laugh. It's got to stand out. If you pull a meme from another page, chances are we've seen it on the page 100 different times.
No, no rule 34 stuff.
Yeah.
If you know what that means, don't, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And that's how you get on there. Anything else for this week?
No, I think this we're all wrapped up.
All right.
And as we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies.
See you on Discord.
Peace.